turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. I don't intend to preach this text. I just want to use it as an illustration for my message tonight. I want you to look here in Genesis 25, verse 21. Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. The Lord made her to conceive. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." Believer, have you ever been so disturbed by your sins? We have our sins with us all the time. They're ever present with us. But every now and then, our sins will disturb us to the point that we ask this question, "Why am I thus?" You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You trust Christ as your all. You believe Christ is your wisdom. He's your righteousness. He's your sanctification. You believe He's your redemption from the curse of the law. And you have no confidence in your flesh whatsoever. But you find that you live more like a child of hell than you do a child of God. You think more like a child of hell than a child of God. You fall into these grievous sins, which are more like a child of hell than a child of God. And you think to yourself, "Why am I thus?" Well, God gives the answer right here in this text. The reason that that is so is because there's two manner of people in you. Every believer, there's two manner of people in you. Wherever there's a believer, there's an old man and there's a new man. Just like Rebekah had these two boys in her womb and they struggled with each other. That old man and that new man struggles with each other. They struggle with each other. They wrestle against each other. There's a warfare between them. But thanks be to God, by His grace, God said, one of these will be stronger than the other. He said, the elder shall serve the younger. And by God's grace, He's going to see to it that that old man, that elder man, that's in you, believer, is going to serve the new man. I want to look at our divisions tonight, at the two natures that are in the believer, considering, number one, their birth. We got to lay the groundwork first. We got to look at their birth. And then we'll look at their struggles. The struggles of life with these two natures within us. And then if we have time, we'll look at the glory of these two natures. Turn with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. First of all, let's talk about the birth of these two natures. The birth of these two men that are in the believer. John 3, verse 3. The Lord was speaking with Nicodemus. And Jesus answered and said unto Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Look down at verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now look at this next word, verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, born of God, the Holy Spirit, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Now, in order for any kind of life, there's got to be birth. There's got to be birth. And so it is with our first birth, and so it is with the believer's second birth. The second birth. Now, the old man and the new man, they have two different fathers. Two different fathers. And those two fathers are very opposite to one another. Now, the reason we have to be born again is because the first time we were born of Adam. Adam is our first father. If we could all trace our lineage all the way back, you'd do well just to take out everybody in between and just see our father's Adam. That's who we came from. Now, when Adam was in that garden, Adam was representing us. And when he sinned in that garden, we sinned in him. And so we came under the curse of the law. We broke the law in Adam. And then, in time, when Adam causes us to be born, we're born, he had a son all the way down to your father and my father. And we were born, we were conceived. And that sinful seed of Adam was passed all the way to us so that we were born with a sinful nature. So here you have us born the first time. And without us doing one thing, because of Adam our head, we've broken the law and we're born with a corrupt, defiled, polluted, unholy nature. Well, Christ the Lord is the Father of the new man. He's the father of that new man that's in the believer, created in the believer. He's the father of that man. The Scripture says this. The Scripture says that we're born of incorruptible seed. Seed that can't be corrupted. And it's by the Word of God. It's by that Word that lives and abides forever. And that one by whom we're born of the Word is the Word, that living Word. Christ the Word, Christ Himself, is formed in us. Now, when Christ obeyed the Father as He walked this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. And all His people fulfilled the law in Him. In fact, our old man was crucified in Him. And so, then in time, and then after we were crucified in Him, when He died, we died, but then when He arose, we arose. And then in time, when we're born of the Spirit, born again, born of God, Christ is formed in us, now we have a new nature. A nature that didn't exist before. A nature created of God. Now that's all the work of Christ. By Christ we're made righteous, and by Christ we're made holy. It's all the work of Christ that He does in His people. Now, in order to enter this world and to have life, to hear, to see, to think, to enjoy life, you had to be born. And that's the case to enter into the kingdom of God. The Lord said here that the only way to enter the kingdom of God, the only way to enter into the church of God, the only way to be in the family of God is to be born into it. You have to be born into it. You have to be born of God, born of the Spirit of God. That's the only way. Regeneration, that new birth, is totally out of our control. We have nothing to do with it. God shows us these illustrations by just our life. Just like you had to be born to enjoy life and to have life and to enjoy all these things, you got to be born again to enter the kingdom of God. And then you look at those two boys in Rebecca's womb. Did they have anything to do with being conceived? Nothing. Their father conceived them. And it's the same with the new birth. We don't have any choice in the matter. It's our Father who makes us to be born again. It's our Father. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you been born the first time? I mean naturally. Were you born naturally? Now, you can answer that question and say, well, yeah, of course I was born naturally. Can't you see me here? I don't have to go back and look at a day when I was born. I don't have to go back and look at a time when I was born. I know I was born. I'm alive. I'm alive. I see, I hear, I smell, I rejoice. I know I'm born of God. Well, are you born again? Are you born a second time? Just like you don't have to go back in time and look at your first birth, you don't have to go back in time to a day and or something you experienced or to something you changed and reformed about yourself and some sin you put away and some religious activity you started doing. You don't have to go back and look at that. A dead man can do that stuff. A spiritually dead man can do those things. How do I know I'm born again? The way we know we're born again, brethren, is your confidence is no longer you. Your confidence is Christ. Right now, my rejoicing right now is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how I know I'm alive. The way I know I'm alive is old things are passed away. All my old confidence, all my old hope, all my old joy, it was all in me and something about me. That's all passed away now. I don't find any confidence in me. I don't find any trust in me. All things are become new. And here's the key. Here's the key. And all these new things, they are of God. They're of God. The believer born of God glories in God. And he only glories in God. There's the key, brother. That's how I know I'm born again. I know I'm born the first time because I see, I hear, I smell. I rejoice. I have sorrow. Well, I know I'm born again because I see Christ by faith. I hear His gospel by faith. I rejoice in my heart with it. I mourn my sin because of Christ. That's how I know I'm born again. Right now. I don't have to go back and look at a birth certificate. You don't either. You don't either. Now, this old man and this new man, they each have the nature of their father. They have the nature of their father. That's why we have this warfare. They have the nature of their father. And these natures are in stark contrast from each other. Go to Ephesians 4 and look at verse 22. Ephesians 4 and verse 22. We got this contrast here in these two natures. Ephesians 4 verse 22 says, "Put off concerning the former conduct, the old man." The old man. Now, this is that first man. This is that man we all born with by our first birth. Put him off. He's corrupt. He's corrupt. According to the deceitful lust. Now, that's all that's in you and me by our first birth. The only thing we have by our first birth is corrupt, deceitful lust. That's what our heart is. That's what our nature is. That dead, spiritually dead heart we're born with the first time. Okay, now look at Ephesians 4:24. Put on the new man. Now he's speaking to a believer, an unregenerated man. A man that hadn't been born again, he doesn't have this new man. He doesn't have it. But now this is a believer. Put on the new man. Put on the new man, which after God. That first man was after Adam. This man's after God our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You see the difference? The first father was Adam, the second father is Christ. The first man is deceitful. According to the deceitful lust, the new man is created in righteousness and true holiness, the righteousness and holiness of Christ. Of Christ. Now that's the case. That's the case with every man born again. Born again. Christ fulfilled all righteousness for us and He entered in us and now we're righteous and holy. In Christ, by Christ. And there's an old man and a new man. An old nature like Adam's nature and a new nature like Christ's nature. You mean I have a new nature like Christ's nature? This new man is like Christ's nature? Christ said, "That which is born of flesh is flesh." And He said, "That which is born of capital S, the Holy Spirit, is spirit." Like begets like. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Now listen to the scripture contrast these men again. Turn over to Colossians 3, verse 9. Colossians 3 and verse 9. He says there, verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. What's the old man with his deeds? What comes from the old man? Look back up there at verse 5. He says there, this is what comes of the old man. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. That's what comes from the old man. And go on down here to verse 6. I'm sorry, go down here to verse 8. Put off all these too. This comes of the old man. This is what the spirit of the old man is. Anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication out of your mouth. That's coming from that old heart, that old man. Now look down there again in Colossians 3:10. He says to the believer, you've put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge. Born of the Word of God, born of the incorruptible seed. That's what he's talking about. Renewed, regenerated in knowledge. Born of the Word of God, that incorruptible seed. After the image of Him that created him. After the image of God. Image of Christ that created him. That created him. Now look, here's what's in the heart now of this new man. Look down there at Christ, verse 11. He says there's neither Greek nor Jew. In our new man, we're not trying to exalt ourselves by looking at what our race is, whether we're a Greek or a Jew or a Gentile. There's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. We're not looking at whether you got the law or you don't have the law. It's irrelevant to us. There's men who build whole denominations over ecclesiology, over how they govern the church or what the church is. There are men who start whole denominations over whether you baptize somebody under the water or you sprinkle them. There's people who start whole denominations over this difference and that difference and the other difference and that difference. Well, there are certain things that we believe and hold to in the Scriptures, brethren, but whether you're born under the law or you don't have the law, whether you have circumcision or you don't have circumcision, that's not what makes the difference. They're neither barbarian or Scythian. It's not whether you're educated or you're uneducated, whether you're civilized or uncivilized. It's not whether you're bond or you're free. Here's what's the heart of the new man. Christ is all. Christ is all and in all. I get letters. People ask me, are you this? Are you that? Or do you hold to this confession or that confession? Do you hold to this or that? Things I don't even know what they're talking about, to be honest with you. And I'll reply to them with an email and say, Christ is all. I've yet to hear from one of them. They don't. That's not what they're interested in. They're interested in, are you this or that? That's what they're interested in. Christ is all. And he's in all his people. And here's the heart of that man. Look at verse 12. Put on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Mercies. Kindness. Humbleness of mind. Meekness. Long-suffering. Forbearing one another. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also you do. And above all these, put on charity. Put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. This is the inward man, brethren. This is born of the Spirit of God. This is what the fruit of the Spirit is. These things. We didn't create these things. We didn't have these things for our first birth. But that's who the new man is. That's the essence of the new man. These are the things he delights in. This is what, because he's been born of God and he's like his Father. These are the things the Father delights in. And he's like his Father because he's born of God. He's born of God. And look over at 2 Peter verse 1. I want you to see this too. This is why we have that nature in us now that we didn't have before. 2 Peter 1 And look at verse 4. He's given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. When we were born of the incorruptible seed by the word of God, by the gospel that's preached unto you, when we were renewed in the knowledge, the doctrine of God by His word, He gave these exceeding great and precious promises that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Of the divine nature. Of Christ's nature. Christ, who's God, of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption. Where'd that come from? My old man. That's in the world through what? Through lust. Through lust of what? The lust of that old heart. You see, this is... So now you've got this old man and you've got a new man. And God illustrates this in our life too. You see this every day. 12 years ago today, Willie Boy was born. Came out, nose laid over to the side of his face, all crooked, and I thought, well, at least he's got a nose. In a little while, it straightened up, and I could see right where he got it from. In a little while, I could see, oh, that fruit didn't fall far from the tree at all. There was a whole lot of things he got from me that I wish he didn't get from me. Just like I got them from my daddy all the way back to Adam. You see, we're born the first time, and there's all kinds of characteristics, and there's all kind of passions, and there's all kind of qualities about you that you get from your father. They came from your father. In a little while, you're going to see them. They're going to come out. You're going to see them. And that's how it is. When we're born of Adam, it doesn't take long to realize that's a child of Adam. That's a child of Adam. And when you're born of God, born of the Holy Spirit, there's a new man there that was not there. A man that delights in mercy because his father delights in mercy. A man who delights in love because his father delights in love. A man who delights to forgive because his father delights to forgive. He sees how much he's been forgiven. Like begets like. See what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? And our Heavenly Father's holy, and therefore that new nature's holy. Christ cannot do otherwise than believe God the Father and love His brethren. And so the new man born of God can't do otherwise than believe God the Father and love our brethren. That's of Christ. That's of Christ. Listen to John. Whosoever is born of God, now that's the new man. Whosoever is born of God, that new man doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him. Christ's seed remains in him. And he cannot sin because he's born of God. Can God sin? Can our Heavenly Father sin? God forbid. And the new man can't sin. New man can't sin. Why am I thus? Why am I thus? It's because there's two manner of people in you. That's why. That's why. The old man of Adam and the new man of Christ. In the first, we're born to sin, and in the new, we're born to holiness. By the first, we're partakers of the corrupt lust, and by the second, we're partakers of Christ's holiness. Well, then, you must be saying then that we have to look within ourselves and look at this new man that's in us. Oh, no. No, no. Paul makes that abundantly clear. We are the circumcision. When a man's born of this Spirit and given this Spirit, we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. But you didn't do that till you had this new man created within you. And I didn't either. We did just the opposite. We worshiped ourselves. When that new man is put in you, now you look to Christ and Him only. Now that's why we're thus. We got these two natures. Now, we've laid the foundation. We've laid the groundwork. Now let's talk about life with these two natures. Look over at Romans chapter 7. What's life like with these two natures? Poor Rebecca. I saw my sister when she had twins. Poor Rebecca, I guarantee you her belly was so big it's about to pop. She had Jacob and Esau. And they're in her womb and they are wrestling against each other. They're trying to, one's trying to wrestle the other one, and they're fighting and punching and doing everything in her womb. And she's just miserable. She's just miserable. Well, believe her, that's just how it is with me and you, with this old man and this new man in us. They fighting, each one trying to take the dominance, and it's just misery all the time. It's a warfare. It's misery. It's misery. And yet, we don't look to our inward man. And here's why. If we've left to the strength of our inward man, even though born of God, we left to the strength of our inward man, we don't have strength. We don't have any strength. You know, that's not, the world teaches this. If they teach anything close to this doctrine, once they talk about you being born of God and having a new man, now they put it all in your hands. Now you got power. Now you got strength. Now you can do this and that. Brother, you can't do a thing. Christ is our strength, and you can't do a thing without Him. That's just how it is. Now look here what Paul said. Romans 7:18. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Now, in my old man, in Adam, there's nothing good in him. There's nothing good in this old man of flesh at all. Nothing good. But in that new man, I've been made willing by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a will in my new man now to please God, to obey God, to look to God, and to worship God. But how to perform it, I don't know. I don't know. Why not? Verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. It's not the new man born of Christ that's doing the sinning. No, sir. It's the old sinful man of Adam that's doing the sinning. Now, look at verse 21. I find then a law. There's a principle. That is, when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now, that's a principle, brethren, that's going to be with every believer to the day we lay down this body of death. When we do good, when we will to do good, and we would do good, there's going to be evil present with you all the time. There's going to be sin mixed with everything you do from here on out. That's just how it's going to be. Now, look, verse 22. For, because I delight in the law of God after the inward man, I really do, but I see another law in my members. There's a ruling principle of sinfulness in my members, in my old man of sin. And he's warring against the law of my mind. He's warring against this new will God's put in me, this new holy will God's put in me. That old man's warring against that new man. And look at what he's doing. This is what he does every time. He brings me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. The sinful will of our old man wars against the new will of our inward man, and he brings us into captivity to sin, which is in our members. Let me give you an example. Let's say in our old man we do something which we have no desire, no will to do in our new man. We don't want to do this, but we do. We get angry, we say something, we do something that we don't want to do, that in our new man we have no delight in, we hate it with everything about us, with a righteous, godly hatred. But we've done it. And then soon after this happens, we hear this voice saying, how could you possibly be a child of God? And you know what the next thing we do is? We start looking over our life and saying, well, how could I be a child of God? Let me see. Where's something about my life that I've done that I can find some assurance in? Let me just find something in my life that I've done that I can find some assurance in. That's the same old man. The same old man brings you into captivity to sin, and the same old man then turns around and says, and exalts you in self-righteousness, saying, now you find something in yourself you can find some assurance in. That's still the old man. That's not the new man, that's the old man. He brings you to sin, and then he says, now fix it. Do something to fix it. Find some assurance in you. Now get this. In our inward man, we have no desire to do either one. We don't have a desire to sin. We don't have a desire to exalt ourselves in self-righteousness. But our inward man doesn't have the ability in itself to stop our old man from exalting us in self-righteousness, much less from stopping us from sinning. Now, some self-righteous men say, well, I beg your pardon, I can. You just let somebody stop, pull out in front of you out here, and you'll find out you don't. Before you even know it, your temper's like that, or some other thing that's some weakness in you, and you've sinned in a heartbeat. And next thing you know, you think, I got to clean that up. And then once you get it cleaned up, you think, now I'm so righteous. Same old man making you sin, and then making you think you're righteous. Same old man. How am I going to be saved from that then? How am I going to be saved from that? Verse 24 says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? If my inward man has no power to do this, if my inward man that God's put in me can't do this, how am I going to be delivered from this body of death? How am I going to be brought out of this captivity? How am I going to be made to turn from looking at me and looking at Christ and resting in Christ and finding my assurance and my peace in Christ? How's that going to happen? Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how it's going to happen. Now hold your place right here and go with me to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Now in Romans 7, Paul is showing us how because of our old man, we cannot do what our new man wills to do. Because of that old man of sin, we can't do what our new man wills to do. But now look what he says here. What he says here in Galatians. Now listen very carefully. In our inward man, he said, we delight in the law of God. Now here's the law of God, right here. God says through Paul, Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in God, the Holy Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of that old man of flesh anymore. I delight in that law, do you? I do. I delight in it. That's the law of God. I delight in it. That's His Word. I delight in it. And that old man of sin will keep me from doing it. He'll keep me from doing it. How then am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? Well, the good that I would, I don't do. Paul said, and the evil I wouldn't, I don't. I do. So how am I going to do this? Verse 17. The flesh lusteth, that old man lusts against, capital S, against the Holy Spirit of God that's in you. And the Spirit against the flesh. Now here's what he's saying. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that by God the Holy Spirit, your old man cannot do the things that you would. In Romans 7, he showed us that your new man can't do the things your new man would do because the old man is too powerful. Here he's showing you, but that old man can't do everything he'd do because the Holy Spirit's too powerful. You see what he's saying? See what he's saying? Now back to Romans 7. Back to Romans 7. Verse 18. He says, so then, Romans 7, I'm sorry, verse 25, Romans 7, 25. So then, by God the Father, through Christ Jesus my Lord, through God the Holy Spirit, with the mind, with that inward man, I myself serve the law of God. I'm going to be brought by the Holy Spirit to turn from me, turn from myself, turn from looking to me and trying to either fall in away in sin or either falling away in self-righteousness. He's going to keep me from that because He's going to turn me in my inward man to behold my Savior and look to Him only and believe Him and continue trusting Him for all my righteousness and all my holiness. But as for this body, with it, I'm going to always, my flesh is going to serve the law of sin. He's saying that principle is going to always be with me. Anytime I do anything sin's going to be present with me. Evil's going to be present with me. So what am I going to do? Are you going to look to your flesh? Are you going to look to your new man? Are you going to look to anything about you? No. By the Spirit of God, we're going to look to Christ. By the Spirit of God. It's Him. It's God that's going to deliver me. It's God that's going to make me look there. And only God. Only God. Now that's what it takes, what it's like to live with these two natures, brethren. If it's somebody, the believer is totally dependent all the time for Christ to save us from this body of death. We're totally dependent on Him all the time to save us from it. And when we sin, it's all of our old man. It's all of our old man of sin. But whenever we do that which God would bring us to do, to look to Christ, trust Him, love our brethren, that's always by God. That's always through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, so that we don't have any room to glory in ourselves whatsoever. And every now and then, in case we get to feeling like we can stand and we have some strength about us, God will let us see what we can do. And we fall flat on our face. Flat on our face. And then we start looking at ourselves again, trying to find something good in us to trust in. And He has to just come and turn you completely from you. And in that inward man, He makes you look out of yourself to Him alone. To Him alone. Now, lastly, you know why He does that? Because He said the elder is going to serve the younger. That old man is going to serve that new man. He's going to serve that new man by God's grace, by God's power. We're never going to stop believing and we're never going to stop loving our brethren because God and the Holy Spirit's not going to let it happen. The old man would love for that to stop, but He's not going to let it stop. All right, now, lastly, very briefly, the glory of these two natures. What's the glory of these two natures? Look at 1 Peter 1:24. 1 Peter 1:24. I'll be brief, but I want you to see this now. This sums everything up. 1 Peter 1:24. Here's the glory of our old man. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man. All the glory of man is as the flower of grass. That flower that blooms, the grass withers, and the flower thereof falls away. You look at that train wreck this week, and such a sad thing that happened. But you see those people were on that train, and they all had their lives, and they all had their careers, and they all had everything they were doing, and it was so busy that they were speeding from Washington to get to New York to do their thing. Like that, God took the lives of some of them. Just like that. Our life is like grass. It just withers away. And whatever glory you have, your very best righteousness, your very best holiness, whenever your life withers and it's gone, that bloom that you were trusting in is going to perish with it. It's going to perish with it. You see, for righteousness to be true righteousness, it has to be eternal righteousness. And for holiness to be valuable, everlasting, or true holiness, it's got to be everlasting holiness. Now, don't put any confidence in your flesh, brethren. If you found anything to assure yourself of, it's going to perish. It's going to perish. But when you're born again, look there at verse 23. When you're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, you're born by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Forever. Look down there at verse 25. The Word of the Lord endureth forever. Christ is the Bible, brethren. Christ is the Scriptures. Christ is the Word. Christ lives and Christ abides forever. And when Christ is in you and joined with you, that means you're going to live forever. Aren't we so foolish? Aren't we so foolish? Think about it. We sin. We're the source of sin. And then we turn around and look to the source of sin to find some assurance. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that just utterly crazy? If you want to find assurance, you need to leave your cracked water pot and you need to go to the mercy seat. Christ, the mercy seat. Now listen to the Scriptures. The eternal God is thy refuge. The eternal God. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Listen, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. He said Christ is the author of eternal salvation with eternal glory. He said, by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He says, they which are called receive the promise of eternal inheritance. He says, He made with us an everlasting covenant. He gave us an everlasting righteousness. In Him is in His everlasting kingdom. And it's founded on a everlasting foundation, the Scripture said. In the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And therefore the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy glory shall be thy God. So the glory of the new man that's made new by Christ is everlasting. That grass, that flesh is withering, and the very best bloom it's going to ever produce is going to fall away just like a bloom on a flower. But I'm telling you this, the Word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the Word by which we're born so that we live and abide forever. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. I'll show you one more Scripture. What's going to come of this new man? Well, God's going to keep us believing on Christ only. And this is what's going to become of him in the end. When that old man of sin perishes, falls away, all his goodness falls away, this is what's going to remain. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 15:45 says this. So it's written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Look down now at verse 47. The first man is of the earth. He's earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Look at verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, and that old man, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. He's going to make us entirely new inside and outside. He's done it inside. He's going to do it outside. We're going to have a new body just like him. Conform to His image perfectly, brethren. And there won't be any sin. Jesus said, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. And he that believes on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He said, whosoever liveth in me, and believeth in me, he said, shall never die. You believe that? He said, believest thou this? See, what I'm saying to you is you're going to always have those times when your old man's going to get the upper hand. And he's going to have the predominance over you. And God's going to do that to show you you don't have any strength in you or any reason to trust in you. And then he's going to turn you to Christ and make you to rejoice in Christ that he keeps you believing, that he has made you righteous and holy and redeemed you, and that he keeps you. And he's going to show you the glory of your flesh is just a withering grass and just a blooming flower. But the Spirit of God lives forever. The Word of God lives forever. And his people will live forever. Trust Christ. Don't trust yourself. Trust Christ only. Only. Amen. Let's stand together, brethren, and Father, we thank you for your Word. We pray now that you'd use it to strengthen the inward man, to turn us to look to Christ, and that you'd set our affection on things above, not on things below. Set our affection on Christ. Show us that our real life is hid with Christ at God's right hand. And when He comes, we're going to appear with Him in glory. Make us to put no confidence in this flesh whatsoever. Lord, we pray this for your glory and your honor. In Christ's name, amen. All right, Eric.